anybody besides me wonder why some things need to happen the way they happen? Anybody besides me get a little bit impatient when things don't work out the way that you think they should? Anybody besides me think sometimes that if we could just tell God the perfect way we want to see things happen, that God should be listening? Anybody besides me? I think it's not a coincidence that this morning I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the power of patience, because it was one of those weeks where I probably lost my patience more than I kept my patience. It was probably a week where there were things that I didn't understand that was going on, and all the time I think to myself, God, you got a sense of humor. Here I am talking about patience and struggling in some areas of being patient, wanting to see God move faster than He was, wanting to see God do something in my timing and in my way, and God's just laying back, saying, you know, I'm in control of this. I'm gonna do it, and as I see fit. So, anyways, I'm probably talking to myself this morning, and I realize that, you know, we're looking at this storm, and there's a lot of people that aren't here this morning because of the storm, but you're here. I'm glad you're here, and I believe God has something special for us. So if you turn to Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22 to 26, and then I'm going to jump back up to 16, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And if you look at that, we're talking about being in the life of the Spirit. So if you go up to verse 16, it says this: So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How many could say amen to that this morning? That if you're really going to live a life by the Spirit... And I'm starting a new series today. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit of God working in our lives, producing fruit. And the Word of God tells us that it will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now this morning I purposely went out of that order and started with patience, because I know how much everyone likes to talk and pray for patience. I know that everyone here is just saying, you know what, I just can't wait till the pastor gets to the part that says, let's pray for patience. Patience is not usually what we pray for, because God's Word says this: knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Understanding that when you're saying that, you're saying, okay, God, I'm giving you permission to test my faith. And there is a purpose and a power in patience, but most of us are going to miss it. Most of us don't really want to hone into that part, because as soon as we begin to pray for patience, we see that God begins to work in areas of our lives that we're not sure we really want Him to be working in. When we approach God, we have more of this thing like, I want patience, and give it to me right now, God. You know, give it to me right now, because I know how I want it, and I want it right now. God, what we're saying to God when we do that? We say, God, I want the easy life. God says, nope, that's not how it's going to work. God, I want to be comfortable. And God says, nope, that's not how it works either. God, give me everything I want. God says, nope, that's not how it works. I think in my years, God has taught me a few things. God, to teach you anything in your years of living? Anybody go, wow, at the end of a testing, or at the end of a trial, or at the end of not understanding something that's going on in your life, After a while, you understand what God was saying to you and wanting to happen. One of the things that I've learned in my lifetime is that God's timetable is not usually your timetable. Just get used to it, that God's timetable is not usually your timetable. It almost always is different. And this is the other thing I learned. If you specifically pray for patience, expect God to test the waters in your life. Allow God to, because what you're saying is, God, I give you permission to work in my life. God, I give you permission to change the things that you're not pleased with in your life. And God, I have an open heart. I have a heart ready to receive what you have for me. Let me give you an example. A man's broke down right in the middle of a busy street. He's sitting in the middle of the street. The man is desperately trying to start his car, but it wouldn't start. And if that's not enough pressure, if that's not enough anxiety, the guy behind him is blowing the horn. Just continues to blow the horn. After several attempts to get this car started, the man gets out of the car, walks to the back to the guy that was behind him blowing the horn very directly and very focused. He says, "Look, my car won't start. Why don't you try to start it for a while and I'll blow the horn?" And that really is how our lives are. Because every time that we pray for patience, every time that we struggle with things that are going on in our life, God always brings these opportunities for us to look at them. How many have been in that situation? Car won't start. Somebody's antsy behind you, blowing the horn, or trying to get around you when the person in front of you is not letting you go by. Getting antsy, getting upset, you know. And it's a nice way. You really like to walk to the back of the car. Let's be honest. You really like to walk back to the car and not say, "Start this." You wouldn't really want to say what you're really feeling as that tension just builds up inside of you. You know, maybe this is you. Man goes shopping with his wife and patiently waits and goes with her shopping for 15 minutes. Then impatiently goes shopping with her for another 15 minutes and then becomes angry. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe patience is difficult for you. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if we had to be honest, there would be a lot of hands up, because patience is not one of the virtues that a lot of us have. Maybe this is you. Maybe this is how difficult patience is for you. A man in Los Angeles was arrested for shooting his toilet 5 times with a .38 caliber handgun. He claimed that he got upset because his daughter clogged the toilet with a hairbrush. Now that is the height of being upset. That's a height of not wanting to be patient. They say patience is a virtue. It says possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Some of you got a little upset. We're waiting to thought I was going to women bash there. Found seldom in a woman, but never in a man. We may not be praying for it, but I assure you that most all of us should be praying for it. If you're going to be honest, we should be praying for patience, because patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is a characteristic of being a born-again believer. It's what God desires in our lives. It is what God is trying to take us to. He's trying to get all these other things out of our lives so that we might be more Christ-like. Most of the time when you hear a sermon, you should go, who, what, when, and why. And so here I go, what is patience? And I've listed some areas of definitions. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. How you doing there? Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Patience is a powerful attribute that enables a man or a woman to remain steadfast under strain. And the last one, patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Now, if I was honest, and if you were honest, sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes we struggle with that. Now, here's the thing I want you to do this morning. We got plenty of time. Right? We you know, I got to do my usual, just put that watch in my pocket and pretend like I don't even see you out there just talking to myself this morning. We would have to admit, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to say it out loud to yourself. We would have to admit this morning that some people irritate you. Can you say that? Some people irritate you. Let's be honest. Some things irritate you. Some circumstances frustrate you. Now, some of you got a vision, didn't you? You got a picture of somebody. You got a picture of somebody. When I said somebody irritates you, you said, "Yep, I know exactly who that is. I can picture the exact circumstance that frustrates me." Now, listen, the Greek word for patience, now I'm getting real technical here, is macrothermia. It means long-tempered. Now, we all know a bunch of people that are long-tempered, don't we? We can just picture that person. We can understand that person and how they irritate, how they get under our skin, how their thinking is just beyond themselves, how they just never seem to get beyond themselves. And if you talk to them, if you really talk to them, you hear them, you talk to them, and here's their philosophy. If you wouldn't agitate me, if you wouldn't disagree with me, then I wouldn't get mad. So it's your fault that I'm long-tempered short-tempered with a short fuse, and you're the reason that I always get mad. How many people know that there's people like that out there all the time that have this kind of thinking? You know, like that is justification. If you wouldn't irritate me and you wouldn't disagree with me, that's my justification of why I get mad. That's why I'm impatient. That's why I have no maturity. That's why I say things that I really shouldn't. Because, you know, you just like my views because you disagree with what I say. How do you deal with people like that? How do you just grab onto that and realize that you're going to come in confrontation with people like that? Paul tells us that outside of Christ, you know, there really is a difference. When you're in Christ, you should act and be more Christ-like. The fruit of the Spirit should be beginning to work in your life. Are you perfect? No. But it should be working in your life. But he says this. He says, outside of Christ, we find anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. We find gossip, quarrel, strife, and dissension. That's what we should expect from people that are outside of Christ. Because the Spirit of God is not working in their lives. It's not able to change them because they're not letting them. And then we see marriages, we see friendships, we see churches split. Been in the news, we see some churches split because of this, you know, fractured and destroyed by people with short fuses. People that have that attitude of, you don't agree with me, I'm going to pick up my toys and run. You don't agree with me, I'm going to let you know what I think. All of these things fracture and destroy people, fracture and destroy relationships. Paul tells us, in according to the Word of God, that we need to get rid of these things. That should be how people outside of Christ works. How people should live their lives outside of Christ. But Paul says that as a believer, that we need to get rid of these things. Take off these things in our life. Put on new clothes. You know, take off them angry clothes and put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on patience. Take off that old, get rid of it, put these things on in our lives. Wow, that sounds really good. And you're probably sitting there saying, yeah, I know, but how do you do that? Put on the new you. You know, and being a new creation in Christ. Like I said, God has a sense of humor. It's always, you know, we laugh and we say about coincidence. And we really, what we're saying, we're being a little bit sarcastic. Yeah, God's in the middle of this. There's no such thing as a coincidence in a believer's life, because God is working. And I think it's funny that God has a sense of humor, because one of the weeks that I struggle the most with impatience and things going on that I want to see work, then God says, you know what, we're going to do a message on patience. And so, like I said before, everything that God gives me to share with you usually has to come through me. So I got my beating, I'm giving it to you. Hopefully God will give you a beating, and we'll all move on and understand and work on patience. You know, it's the little things. And I remember Beck and I traveling to Wisconsin. We're sitting in the airport, and this little kid's just kicking the back of my chair. That's irritating. You know, that's irritating. The car this week decides that it's not going to work right. It's irritating. I found out it was my own fault. That was even irritating. The heating company that we've been waiting 4 or 5 weeks to come in and do some things in our house, they wait till the week that my friends from Wisconsin come in, and that's when they want to do it. That's frustrating. And we see that if you just see these things happening all the time. All the time, God's saying, I'm going to test you in this. I'm going to see what you're made out of. You're going to realize that you're going to fall short. You're going to pick yourself up, and I'm going to work in your behalf. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Okay, so we know what patient looks like, but the next question is this: where does it come from? And when you're having a bad day, aren't you asking that question? God, where do I get the strength to just get this patience? The Bible is very clear that patience comes from God. That you're not going to be able to do this on your own. The Bible is very clear that it comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Patience comes from the power of God working in our lives. Does it mean that we're perfect? No. Does it mean that we'll stumble? Probably at times we're going to stumble. But it does mean that as a Christian, as a believer, that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, making us more a disciple of Christ, making us more Christ-like, showing us when we fall short, showing us when we need to trust Him more. Now let's review this. Patience is evidence in our lives that God is in control. Isn't it true that every time that we lose control, every time that we become impatient, we really have to say to ourselves, God, you weren't in control at this moment. You know, it was us trying to take control, and then we lose it. And then we know that patience is the power of God working in our lives, and that we cannot achieve it without God. Can you say amen to that? That you just realize that if you really want God to do a works in your life, that to work on patience, to work on maturity, to work on your thinking, then you have to realize that you can't do this on your own. You can't achieve it without God working in our life. And patience doesn't come quickly. You know, it's like, God, do it right now. Well, God says, nope. It's a process. And God somehow just seems to drag His feet sometimes, because you just want Him to work a little quicker. He says, nope, it's a process. I'm working from front of this to the back of this, and I'm going to do a works in your life. So let's apply a couple things to what we know here. A couple nuggets of truth very quickly. Number one is this. If you're writing it down, number one is this. Maturity comes from patience. It's going to be the evidence that God is in control of you. You know, it's where we fall short a lot of times. Isaiah 40:13 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. How many times do we realize that every time that we ask God to hurry up, that's the time that He just seems to say, they that wait upon the Lord. You know, and he just kind of brings you right through that, teaching you new moments, teaching you that you're going to find new strength in Him, teaching you that really are, if you are going to fly like an eagle, if you're going to get above your circumstance, that, you know, you're going to be able to run and not grow weary, that you're not going to, you know, faint when you're walking, it's going to be in the Lord's power. See, Satan sends temptation. Now get this. Satan sends temptations so that we would stumble. We know that according to the words. Satan's going to send temptations, things that cause you to stumble. And then you got to realize this. God allows, now did you get that? God allows trials so that we can stand firm. See, there's two different avenues. Satan's trying to bring you down. God is trying to raise you up. God's trying to have you stand firm. The Word of God says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. Aren't you glad that God takes you with you? Let me say it again. I only heard about two amens. It really should be a lot more here this morning. Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you? Aren't you glad that when you mess up, as much as people in the world want to say that God's there with a big hammer, aren't you glad that really He wants to lift you up and work in your life? That He's showing you that He cares what's going on. Give you an example. A little boy says to his dad, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" Dad says, "Son, I don't know." "Dad, why is the grass green?" "Son, again, I'm not sure." And he kept asking all of these questions. And the dad's response was, "I don't know, son." And his last question to his dad, "Dad, do you mind me asking questions?" "Why, no, son. How else are you going to learn anything?" Aren't you glad that God doesn't just go, "I don't know, son. I don't know, daughter. What's going on?" Aren't you glad that God is patient with us and that God desires to give us answers that work for us? Number two is this. Number one is maturity comes from patience. Number two is this. Patience and maturity helps us to be who God wants us to be. The Word tells us the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. How many times should God have just cracked the lightning bolt and took you out? You know what I mean? I mean, it really, let's be honest, and each one of these points really reverts back to the point that God is patient with us. How many times should God just strike you down? How many times should God say, "That's enough. You've hit your limit"? How many times, you know, must you be told the same things? It, you know, there is one illustration I shared of one other time is two lawyers were out in a boat and they were fishing, and the one was saying there is no God, and he was standing up in the midst of the storm and he was telling everybody, "If there's a God, strike me down if there's really a God." You know what? He didn't get struck down, but isn't that a patient God? Because really, if you were God, wouldn't you just out of spite just disintegrate that guy, do a Star Wars special and just take him right out? And just, that would be it, to show your power. But God has patience. God gives us a chance. You know, how many times we see the patience of God? We read in the Bible the patience of Job. How many could endure with Job? You know, look, going through and losing your family and everything you own and everything else there, all because you were really walking with God, not understanding that God was saying, "Here's my servant Job. Look how much he loves me and how much he desires to serve me." Not knowing if really God was doing that to him, but saying, "You know what? No matter what, I'm going to serve God." Not many of us would be able to endure that. How about the patience of and put your name in? Or is God still working on you? Or is God still helping you to be all that you need to be? And this morning you're sitting there saying, "Well, I can't put my name in there." Well, God's still working on you. God still desires. Let me give you a tip about how maturity to be where and do what God wants you to do. How about hanging around some people that have some patience? How about hanging around people who understand the Word of God? How about some people that determine that they're going to to live their lives according to God. Them are the kind of people that you should be watching. You should be watching them. You should be listening to them. You should be learning from them. Through the lens of others, God can show you how to react to people that annoy you. That tailgater, that one that's poking in the fast lane when you're trying to get to a meeting or you're trying to get somewhere else. I know this is just me, but how about that loudmouth that has something to say but really not saying anything? Oh, I'm the only guy that knows this guy. They have a lot to say but nothing worth saying, nothing worth listening to. You know, the one that you know, now here, I know this is me again too. How about the one that just gets under your skin and he doesn't have to say anything? Huh? I pick my friends very carefully. I guess I have the only two in America. But the ones that just get under your skin and they don't have to say anything. They just need to be breathing and standing in front of you. And somehow, some way, they get irritating. Once you realize that how incredibly patient God is and how you remember where God has brought you from, you're going to be able to look at that person in different eyes. You're going to be able to look at that person with the eyes of Christ and not with your own self-condemning self. You're going to look at him as Christ did. You're going to realize, look, God, I may not be perfect, but I'm sure not where I was before. You've done a lot of work and I'm still in a process and you're not done with me. You're going to be able to look at someone else with better eyes. More of the eyes of Christ. And the last one here is this. Maturity helps keep our eyes focused on Christ. It's not you get this. If you're looking today and you're saying, wow, this pastor's going to give me everything I need today. I'm going to walk out and I'm going to be the most patient person you ever saw. That's probably not going to happen. You know, God's going to take you through your process. God's going to let you know every weakness that you have, and he's going to try to work on that. You know, if you think today that you're going to take this 40 days to a perfect and patient you probably came to the wrong place. But he is going to help us mature. He is going to help us keep his eyes on him. You know, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about being a Christ-like person. We're talking about focusing ourselves on Christ and not ourselves. You know, we live in this age of quick. You got microwaves, you got 10-minute oil changes, you got fast foods, you got all kinds of things that just create in us that everything should happen fast. He desires that the final result that we begin to look to him first and not ourselves. It's to begin to look to him and not try to fix it ourselves. The end result is that we need to keep focused on him. He teaches us that when we're seriously wronged, that we stop and think about the right way to respond. We all know the wrong way to respond. We've all been there and responded in the wrong way. We've all said words that we wish we could take back. We all have that oops moment where we let our emotions get before us. But God's saying, you know what? If you allow me to do this work in your life, I'm going to teach you that when you're seriously wronged, you're going to respond in the right way. And I'm getting ready to close here. How you doing with that? You know what I'm saying? How you doing with that? And only you can be honest this morning. You know, how are you doing with anger? And if you're not doing well, you need to be praying about it, asking God, how, Lord, can I get this out of my life? Because you're going to find out that a lot of times anger is dealing with frustration and disappointment, and you need to identify it and be able to see why. You know, how are you at being patient for God to accomplish what he needs to in your life? You brought it once, God. You should have fixed it. Now I don't trust you anymore. Hey, God, you know what? You began to do a good work. So I've stumbled, and now I can't do it. God wants to do a work in our lives. How are you doing at seeing where God has brought you from, and keeping that perspective in somebody else's life? See, it's real easy if you've been a Christian maybe 30 years or so to find something in somebody else's life and pinpoint it, but how's God doing in your life to say, you were there one day, and I brought you from it? How about showing a little mercy? How about showing a little bit of grace? How about being patient with somebody to realize that you know they're needing a new creation in Christ? They're needing some things taken out of their lives. How about me being a part of your life to even get involved, mentor them, show them, help them, bring them to church, meet some needs, supply some things in their lives that is going to help them in their walk? You really will never come to maturity without getting these things taken care of and under the control of God. I see it every day. People struggle, and you just want to grab them and say, you know what? God has to be first in your life. The reason that you're struggling here is you're trying to do all of these things on your own. You're trying to do it in your own strength, and you're trying to make something happen that God has to be involved in. And if you just would be able to just, like I say, open up their head, take the garbage out, put the good stuff in, you would tell them that you'll never get this right until God gets control of your life, that you allow Him to be first in your life. I'll end with this illustration. It's kind of silly, but it fits the point. Fly was flying along one morning, and he lands on this lawnmower that somebody left out in the yard. He flew over it, and he sat there, and he was watching all the kids go to school. Perfect example for kids going to school tomorrow. Some of you will visualize a fly sitting on a lawnmower as you're walking to the bus. But the fly is sitting there on the lawnmower, and he's watching these kids go on to school, and they're walking down the sidewalk, and one little boy trips. His lunch goes flying out. He trips over the piece of the concrete in the sidewalk. His lunch goes spilling out all over the place. He picks it up, and he puts it all back in his bag and begins to walk, and this fly is looking around, and he notices that this kid missed a piece of bologna. But the fly hadn't eaten all day long, and he was hungry, so he flies down and starts eating this bologna. In fact, he ate so much of this bologna that he was waddling along the sidewalk and across the lawn, and he eventually goes back up onto the lawnmower, and he gets up onto the handle and sat there resting and watching the children. But then he notices that again that there's still a piece of bologna, but he is so full. He can't hardly move. He can't hardly do, but he sees this piece of bologna sitting there, and he's really stuffed, and the bologna looks good, and he decides, I'm going down to get it. Finally, the temptation got so bad, it got the best of him, and he jumped off the handle of the lawnmower and flew over to the bologna. But what he didn't realize is that he was too big and too full, and splat, he was killed instantly. The moral of the story is this: don't fly off the handle when you're full of bologna. Silly, but works, right? So many people flying off the handle. If Heidi was here, she'd be laughing about that. So full of baloney, flying off the handle, missing what God has. That, you know, it's the reckless side of us, and that's well ended. It's the reckless side of us, and we don't realize how much it cost us. You know, humanity is like that. You know, they're full of baloney, and they can't see it, and they fly off the handle and get mad at the world when the problem is us. And this morning, if you're going to really deal with patience, and as we look at the rest of the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, if you're really going to get a handle on patience, it's going to be God doing it. And there's some areas that you're going to just have to take your hands off and say, well, you know what, I've tried this. It's not working, God. You need to do this. And you need to get to the point where God has to be your first decision in the circumstance rather than the last. Because that's usually what I hear back in my office. I've tried everything else, so maybe this God thing will work. And God's saying, I got to be first in your life. I've got to be first. And then you're not going to be so quick to fly off the handle. You're going to be more patient. You're going to be more impressive. You're going to allow God to do these things. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Father, it's true. And I just say this morning that you do have a sense of humor. And a week that I struggle with things getting done on time and the things that I desire to see that seem to struggle and not happen, that's the week you give me a message on patience.